that you pay the price, that we might go free. Since one man has died for all, he who lives should no longer live for himself, but for the one who died for him and was risen up from the dead. This morning, Jesus, our lives are for you. I pray, Lord, that our eyes will be opened once again, not to look to people, but to look to you. That our hearts will be opened once again, so the treasure of your word can fall upon our heart, and our hearts can be the soil. We submit, we thank you for reason, we thank you for intellect and our minds, but we submit it to you. We want faith in our hearts, and we thank you, Lord, that your word can produce faith within our lives. That your name be glorified. As I stand here, I humble myself and I give myself into your hands. Not what I would have prepared, not what I would love to preach, but what you would declare to us today. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand in the presence of the Lord.
Some of them, and I don't know how much more we can look through, because I want to keep this message for just 3 weeks. Next week I want you, if the Holy Spirit will help me, I'm not sure, but I strongly feel in my heart that I need to preach next week on the Antichrist, who it will be, and what the Bible has to say on that. Amen. That will be interesting. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't think there's anyone sitting here. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I want to go through this message as fast as possible. And here it says that how his coming will be. Now we were looking at the signs last week. We'll just look through a couple more of the signs that prevail or that tell us about his coming being very near. The disciples came and asked the Lord, Lord, how will your coming be? Or when it will be? And the Lord took the disciples and said, look out there. When you see the clouds getting red, when the clouds are dark, you know if the storm is coming, that a rain is going to come, a storm is brewing up. You, by your natural senses, know how to discern a season and a time. So much more from the Word of God, by certain signs that will happen, for you will also know that my coming is near. Amen.
Amen.
If through your natural eyes you can discern the natural atmosphere changing, that a rain is going to come, the Lord said in Matthew 24, how much more by the signs that I tell you, you will know that my coming is so, so near. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now one of the things that the Bible speaks about in Matthew's Gospel chapter 24, if you are really interested to learn on the second coming, read the 24th chapter of Matthew, read the 13th chapter of Mark, read the first letter of Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, read the 2nd chapter of Daniel, and the 8th chapter of Zechariah, and the 12th chapter of Zechariah. You will find all that the powerful truths about the revelation of Jesus Christ coming back is very clearly outlined by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And here, some of the signs that the Lord spoke about, one of them, I said, would be that in the last times there would be such a wave of deception. And the Bible says in Matthew's Gospel, if possible, even to deceive the elect. Even to deceive the elect. Such an amount of deception. Amen. And if there is any gift that you're going to ask the Holy Spirit to give you, it has to be the gift of discernment. The gift of discerning of spirits. It has to be the natural gift of discernment and the supernatural gift of discerning of spirits. You want to make sure that you don't fall into the deception of the enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a counterfeit gospel that's being preached. There is a bloodless religion being preached where the blood of the Lamb is not honored and glorified. You don't even hear songs on the blood of Jesus Christ anymore in any churches. No pulpit ever preaches on the second coming of Jesus Christ. There's a counterfeit gospel that's going on that tells you that you can sin and do anything that you like and still make it to heaven. You are mistaken. You're very wrong. That's a mistake that people are making where they think they can build their lives on a doctrine when they're called to build their lives on Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you were to go into the inner room by yourself, sit down there and say, Lord, check my heart. Am I ready? Am I ready when you come back? It's just knowledge up here, but faith, living faith in my heart. Am I ready, Lord? I am sure the Holy Spirit would have certain things to point in your life and tell you, this is something that you need to correct.
Amen.
The Bible says that he's coming for a church without a spot, a wrinkle, or a blemish. I was sitting with the Lord one day, and suddenly I was sitting and praying, and our prayers are normal, everybody prays. And sometimes you really allow the Holy Spirit to meet with you and deal with you inside. I said, Holy Spirit, show me. And suddenly he was showing me areas of my life that was a blemish, a spot, a wrinkle. And I said, Lord, I better get it right. Amen.
Amen.
You better sit with the Lord and see where the Holy Spirit of God is showing you. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, do not be deceived. You can be deceived by thinking you can live an unrighteous life and still make it to heaven. You understand that? One of the things of the Lord's signs that before He comes back, the Bible says, is that there will be great deception. It's possible to deceive the elect. And what is one of those deceptions is that people are following particular doctrines. Doctrines are wonderful. I'm not against it. But people are following a doctrine and forgotten the person of Christ. So their hearts are not charged up with fire for God. Their minds are kind of charged up, but their hearts are not charged up. Inside their feet kind of cold. It's true, they have a lot of biblical knowledge, a biblical understanding, but deep down in their hearts, there is a kind of emptiness. Are you with me? Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't want to be so right in my head and so wrong in my heart. Amen. And if you can get your heart and your head to be right, then that's perfect. Deception. Impossible. Amen. Deception. Now that itself is a message that we have a couple of weeks preaching on, the deceptions. There is a counterfeit gospel, a counterfeit church, a counterfeit ministers of the gospel. You don't recognize a minister by the dress he wears, nor by the accent that he uses, nor by the perfume that he uses. You have to recognize a minister by the fruit. Not even by the gift. Hear that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you still with me here this morning?
Amen.
And here in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, another one of the signs before the Lord comes. Actually, there's a great way of deception, but look to Luke 18 chapter, the 18th chapter. And the 8th verse. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Can you imagine that? Will he really find faith? Will he really find faith when he comes? Faith. Biblical saving faith. Which means that before the Lord comes, there's going to be a system that's going to tell you and make fun of you for your faith in Christ. Because unbelief will begin to pollute the minds of people. And faith will be the last thing. The Lord is saying, will you find faith? And one of the reasons that I make sure that the congregation would, in time after the other, go through seasons of fasting and prayer and spending time in the Word is so that your faith can be charged up. Because you step outside the Word, step into the Word, everyone will make fun of you for your word, your faith in the Bible, faith in Jesus Christ, for your worship to the Lord, for the very reason that you gather together to worship the Lord. It looks strange out there to people. People have got everything upside down. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But the way you find faith, it's up to you to keep your heart burning. And the fuel for faith is the Word. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Fuel for faith is the Word. One of the reasons why the Lord said, are you with me here today?
Amen.
One of the reasons that the Lord said, see, will you find faith on earth? It's because in the last times, it's not that there's not going to be preaching, but there is not going to be preaching that will produce faith. You understand that? There's a lot of preaching going on. There's a lot of meetings going on. I would say one of the greatest deceptions in this place called Kerala is that there are meetings everywhere where the clear word of God is hidden and something is being preached somewhere by someone and people are excited. So they are religious, but they don't have a faith in the living God. You hear that? Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verses 1 to 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Amen. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Third verse is important. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Amen.
Amen.
One of the reasons that faith won't be there is because in the last time it says, people will heap up for themselves teachers who will tell them what they're itching to hear. They will turn their ears away from listening to the truth and be ready to listen to anything. So Paul is writing to Timothy and saying, Timothy, make sure that you preach the word. Make sure that you preach the word. Make sure that you preach the word. No ministry, no church can be built even upon the gifts of the Spirit. Mind you, the gifts are important. I love the gifts of the Holy Spirit. No ministry, no church, or no work of God can be ever built upon by a person. Are you with me? I believe in individuals being blessed by the Lord and anointed with special callings. But let me tell you, they alone cannot do the work of the Lord. When you gather together, there should be worship. Everybody loves songs. Everybody is willing to sing. You know, one time a person came and told me, I love coming for some of the worship that you have. It makes me feel like I'm on a rock show. It's perfectly okay. But don't just attend the rock show and you go hear the word also. Amen. It's up to you what you feel. Amen. But the word is preached. Are you with me? Make sure that you open your heart and receive the word and say, Lord, let your word speak to me. Preach the word in season, out of season. Enter the work of an evangelist. Which means that men of God in the last times while they minister. See, you know, that's a powerful word. Some of you are wondering, how many of you here want to be ministers for the gospel? It's a beautiful thing. You know why you want to be ministers? Have you ever checked why? In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1 it says, if anybody desires or has an ambition to be a minister, he's looking for a good thing. Okay? If he's got an ambition to be a minister of the gospel, it's a good thing. See, when Paul wrote that to Timothy and the anointing, there was a reason. Because nobody wanted to take the job of preaching the word. Because at that time, if you would preach the word, your head would be chopped off, people would spit at you, people would not respect you, people would call you crazy, fanatic, and extreme, and they would laugh at you. So Paul is writing and saying, to Timothy, see if there is anybody in your congregation, Timothy, who has got ambition to be a minister, get them. The reason was not because they were having popularity, no positions, nothing, but because there was persecution. And nobody had the ambition to be a minister. You hear that? people will heed for themselves teachers they love to hear. But you make sure that you preach and endure the affliction. There's going to be suffering for the gospel. There's going to be people misunderstanding you, making fun of you, laughing at you, making fun of your worship, making fun of the way you preach, making fun of the things that you do for the Lord. But make sure that you are serious about it. Endure the affliction. Endure the pain. And I believe in this time, if India should be one for Christ, there should be young men and women, people, old and young, who will rise up to say, I am willing to suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Endure sufferings. Amen. Hallelujah. Today when you go about, people respect you. It's not everywhere, please. Ah, things are fixed, God. That's a season, you know. Those very people will say, I've had that in my life. Jesus on trial before Pilate, he's standing there. He preached the word. He bore the signs, wonders, and miracles. Healed people, set people free. People, those very people who received those blessings, the very voices that he healed, the very dumb people who could not speak and God opened their mouth to speak, they are the ones who are shouting and saying, crucify him. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. If you want to be a servant of God, let me tell you this, never expect to be treated any way better than the way they treated Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hear that? On the cross, they're standing down there and making fun of him. The Lord is hanging there on the cross. Amen. The very head, legs that he healed are walking away from him. But he could not walk away. The very hands that he set free and healed are not there to help him. But he made sure that his hand was on the cross. If you're going to learn ministry, learn by looking to Jesus. Paul is writing to Timothy and saying, Christian people are going to come to a time when they will all want to hear the right thing. They will look for preachers who will tell them nice, good stories, nice, good, easy, smooth, nice things. But you make sure and preach and tell them that faith comes by hearing the word, and the word should be that of Christ, not stories. Preach the word, in our season. I go to certain ministries, they started in the word. Now they're ending up only with prophecies. Prophecies, prophecies, prophecy. I enjoy that gift, beautiful gift. I exercise that gift too. But let me tell you one thing. You can never, if there might be weeks in which God allows his gifts to man in such a way that the prophecies go forth. But there should never be continuous weeks where the word is shut away. Are you with me? The word. Because people are going to come to a place where they are. See, in Amos chapter 8, one of the signs again. Look to it. The 8th chapter of Amos. And verses 11. 12 and 13. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it. Hear that? See, when I when the Lord made us learn the second coming, and when we were teaching the first time, I taught some years back on the second coming of the Lord, I told the congregation one thing. But what I told them was this: make sure that you have your personal Bibles. And make sure that you really use your Bible well. Read it. Write notes on it. Use it well. Make sure that you write notes, underline things, and make sure that when somebody looks at it, they know that you have really studied the Word. You know why? Because there will come a time when the church is taken up, when the Lord comes and takes the church away, and when there is no more believers on this earth, planet Earth, where people who have heard the gospel but who are not committed, people who are just halfway in between, will look about and say, oh my God, what that preacher said was true. Now how do we find the Word? Where do we find the Word? Where do we get some Word? There will be no teachings, there will be no preaching, there will be no worship centers. But let me tell you, that is the time when somebody might find your Bible lying here, and they can open up and they can receive some Word which will set them free to receive the Lord even in a later time. Amen. Amen. Will he find faith on earth when he comes? The time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but will have itching ears. Today everybody's got ears. The ears are itching to hear anything. Anything. They will even eat poison. They're hungry. But are you hungry for the real thing? Are you hungry for the real Word? The genuine Word which will make you commit your life to the Lord, which will make you consecrate to Jesus, which will help you to realize that without faithfully walking with God, you cannot be caught up. Let me tell you, the Bible says in Matthew 24, on the day when the Lord comes, there shall be two on the field. One will be taken up, one will stand there. Two ministers. Two on the feet in the vineyard of the Lord. Two. You hear that? Two on the feet. The pastor is taken up, the assistant pastor is there. Two on the feet. The retreat is going. Up, team comes back to the church. The other one, nobody knows where. It's on the day when the Lord comes. Two shall be sleeping together. One shall be taken up. Amen. Praise God. Two shall be sleeping together. That's to be husband and wife. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. See, there is homosexuality is allowed in churches. Even homosexual ministers are there. Amen. God made Adam and not Adam and Steve. People think it is okay now to be married to another guy. How sweet. Two shall be sleeping together. One shall be taken up, the other shall be there. I heard my uncle preach on that many a time, and he would say, it will be a time when husband gets up in the morning, looks around, the wife is not there. Where is my wife gone? Where is my wife gone? Maybe she's gone to get me some bad coffee. She's been going for this retreat crusade and all that. Maybe she's changed. And she wants to get up and bring bad coffee for me. Husband gets up, waits for some time. No bed coffee coming. Then she must be taking a bath. Goes to the bathroom to look. Nobody there. Looks around. Looks around. Nobody in the house. Walks down. Nobody. Gets out of the house. Nobody there. And suddenly the woman of the next house comes and says, did you see my husband? After all these prayer meetings, my husband also used to go for this prayer. Now both of them are. Hallelujah. I said to the Lord, Lord, I want my family saved. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now is the time, church, for you to pray, saying, Lord, save my families. Because there will come a time when it will be much more harder. But now is the time to pray and say, Lord, I want my husband, I want my wife, I want my children to come to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we going to look to the Word? You know, one more sign of the Lord's coming is mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 34. Second chapter of Jeremiah, the 34th verse. I know it's hot in here, but you're enjoying the Word, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad that you're saved from a greater heat?
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. The 34th verse of the second chapter of Jeremiah. Also, on your skirts is found the blood of the lives of the poor innocents. What is the Bible speaking there? Before Jesus comes, there is going to be a time when the abortion rate is going to be so much. The children are going to be killed even by the time they come forth from their mother's womb. I was reading a newspaper article in which one of the greatest delicacies in a certain part of the world is human beings, babies. Could you imagine that? Children are a blessing from God. You understand that? When you see them, you might not feel like it. But that's what the Word of God says. Learn to bless them, bring them up in the ways of the Lord. One of the signs of the Lord's coming before He comes is that across the world there's going to be widespread acceptance of abortion. The human mind, the natural mind, justifies everything. Another sign before the Lord comes. The second chapter of Daniel. I go through this fast. And the 42nd verse. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. Amen. Partly strong, partly fragile, the kingdom. In other words, what the Bible is saying is that there shall be unstable governments across the world. Unstable governments. If you just look at our nation of India, you will find the first maybe about 40 years we had one party ruling. Then there was a wave of a time when almost every couple of weeks the new government was coming through. Unstable governments. Are you with me? Just not in India. If you watch the BBC or the CNN, if you watch the news, you will find it's unstable everywhere. And that is one of the signs before the Lord comes back. You hear that? If you look at generations past and generations now, you will find across the world this way of instability in the government. And these are some of the signs, no? Where the Bible says, before Jesus comes, that certain things will take place. Amen? One more sign, and then we are going to look at how is it going to is coming. The 12th chapter of Daniel. And the 4th verse. Are you learning something? Are you here today? But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Last week we looked at the word knowledge shall increase. But here we have, many shall run to and fro, which means, one, there shall be a rise in travel. Running about. A rise in travel. You can think of that some years back. Maybe this generation is used to travel like you heard about it. But if you would look to certain years back, it was not that way. And Daniel is prophesying under the anointing of God even before the first coming of Jesus. Nearly 800 years before the first coming of the Lord, he's prophesying and saying, before the end, before Jesus comes back a second time, there's going to be an increase in travel. And actually there's an amazing scripture in the book of Nahum, the second chapter. And the 4th verse. Nahum, the 2nd chapter. And the 4th verse. The chariots rage in the streets. They jostle one another in the broad roads. They seem like torches. They run like lightning. Nahum, the prophet, is prophesying. And he's saying, the chariots race in the streets. That's fine. They jostle one another in the broad roads. Then he's saying they seem like torches. They run like lightning. Must be speaking about my Ford Iker. Hallelujah. Amen. Travel shall increase. Amen. Hallelujah. Even before the first vehicle has come out, the Holy Spirit rode under the anointing of God through the prophet Nahum and said, there shall be travel, shall be like lightning, very fast, seem like torches. Have you seen the highway in the night? Just the light. See that? Well, the prophet must have seen that under the anointing. I love to park my car on the highway and watch other cars go by sometimes in the night. Just the lights going fast. And reminded of now. Fast. Before the Lord comes. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even so, come Lord, come. Just looking to certain signs here. But how will his coming be? And that's the scripture that we read in the beginning. The first verse of Thessalonians chapter 4 and 16 and 17. Shall we go through? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 and 17. Are you there? I want us to read that together. Yeah.
For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Yes, we don't. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that word. For the Lord, this is how his coming will be. We were speaking here with the signs for the coming. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Amen. With a shout. There shall be a shout from the mouth of my Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back. And what is a shout? You remember, on earth, when Jesus Christ came the first time in the flesh, one of his friends, Lazarus, was dead. So the sisters of Lazarus asked for Jesus to come. And the Lord goes a couple of days later, and Lazarus is buried and kept in the grave. And the Lord stands by the grave and he says, make sure that stone is rolled away. Amen? Amen. And then the Lord stands there and gives a shout. He says, Lazarus, come forth. The dead man comes out of the grave. Hallelujah. Bible scholars say the reason Jesus said, Lazarus come forth, and not just come forth, was because if the Lord had said only come forth, everyone who was dead in that time would come. Hallelujah. The Lord said, Lazarus, you come forth. Lazarus came. It's going to be the same way when Jesus comes in the cloud.
Hallelujah.
He's going to come in the cloud and he's going to give a shout saying, come forth. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise. Not everyone who is dead, remember this? The dead in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
മരിച്ചു കഴിഞ്ഞിട്ട് ആകെ പിന്നെ സ്വർഗത്തിലേക്ക് വിടാൻ പറ്റിയല്ല, സ്വർഗത്തിൽ കയറിയിട്ടേ നീ മരിക്കാവൂ.
The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those of us who are alive, again the word is alive in Christ. Not just everybody who's alive. So if the Lord should come today, right now, this minute, if he should come in the cloud and say, come forth! Hallelujah. Then in Christ you will rise. And then those of us who are alive, that will be the day not to know who is in Christ and who is not. Some of you are sitting here and saying, Hallelujah, maybe not so. The cry that I pray when I pray before the Lord is, Lord, the congregation that I passed, that every one should be there with me.
Amen.
Then it says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel.
I like it. The voice of an archangel. Hallelujah. What is that voice? See, the Bible says in the book of Jude, speaking about the Old Testament where Moses, after he died, the book of Jude it says, there was a dispute over the body of Moses. Now in the book of Deuteronomy you don't find that, not in the book of Exodus. But then in the book of Jude in the New Testament, the Bible says there was a dispute over the body of Moses. We do not know what the dispute was, but there was a dispute by the devil. Satan came in dispute over the body of Moses. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Of a man like Moses, the devil came in. A dispute over the body of Moses. And then the book of Jude says, then the archangel Michael came and rebuked the devil. Are you with me? The archangel came and rebuked the devil. It says, the Lord, when he comes, there shall be a loud shout from his very mouth. Then the voice of an archangel. And I believe it is this. When Jesus comes in great glory, and when he says, come forth, everyone who is dead in Christ will rise. Those of them who are alive in Christ will rise. And when they have been taken up to be with the Lord, the devil will know all his efforts to keep them under his control as fail. He will be so angry. He will be so dejected. He will go through a nervous breakdown. He will be at the point of utter dejection and depression. And even in his miserableness, he will try one last time to take a hold over the legs of the believer who are being caught up. And at that time, the archangel shall give a shout, saying, not so! Lord, rebuke thee. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil will have to be satisfied with your shoes. You will be caught at the end of the road. So don't stay attached to your shoes. Amen. Hallelujah. And a third. And with the trumpet of God. Do you have a trumpet? The trumpet of God. The third thing that will happen in the heavens. Are you listening to this today?
Amen.
Is God speaking to you?
Amen.
With the trumpet of God, the voice of the Lord, the archangel shout, and the trumpet of God. What is this trumpet of God? Numbers chapter 10 in the Old Testament says in the 8th and the 9th verse, when the people of Israel were coming out of Egypt and when they were going on to the promised land, in the wilderness they were guided by the cloud during the day and fire in the cloud during the night. Amen?
Amen.
Are you still here?
Amen.
There was cloud during the day and fire in the cloud during the night. And wherever the cloud stayed, they stayed. Amen. When the fire stopped, they stopped. When the fire moved, they moved. Amen. In the Old Testament we have the shadow, in the New Testament we have the substance. But that cloud and that fire speaks about the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But let me tell you this. When the cloud stopped or the fire stopped, the people of Israel stopped. And then God would say to Moses, Moses, it's time to move on. And the cloud would begin to move. So Moses would get up and say to the musicians, the trumpeters, the Lord says, it's time to move on. And the trumpeters would take the trumpets and blow it. Ba 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 ba. people of God in their camps would know it is time to move on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To move on into the promised land.
Hallelujah.
It will be the same wind that day when Jesus comes. It will not be one single trumpet. It will be the angelic trumpets of God in heavens. The music that you have never heard before. The trumpet calls that you've never heard before. It will be mighty. It will be mighty. The greatest music that you will ever hear will be that music. The music of the trumpets of God in heaven. The glory of God in heaven. The angelic worship. There will be the trumpet blast. And then the church of Christ, the believers, the body of Christ, those who are in Christ will know it's time, it's time, it's time to move on. Hallelujah. Oh, the camping is over on earth. There, the pilgrim is dying to move on. In the wilderness.
Amen.
Amen. One, the voice of the Lord, or the shout of the Lord, the trumpet call of God, the archangel's voice. Three things in the heavens. Three things on earth. The dead in Christ rising up first. Amen. Hallelujah. Then those of us who are alive in Christ. Remember that word in Christ. Amen. Not in religion. God will ask you which church. You go to church in religion. You go to this church, that church. God will ask you that. In Christ. That's it. In Christ. Those who are alive in Christ. And the third, the Bible says that in the twinkling of an eye, their body shall be changed. Amen. To our glorious body. In the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15 says, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall put on the incorruptible body. Amen. Where there is no sickness, where there is no pain, hallelujah, there shall be the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling, can you imagine that? The twinkling of an eye, that's fast. Boom, you're changed to a glorified body. Hallelujah. And you will be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds. And there's a song which they will sing, looking back at the graves. And this is the song, over death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Hallelujah. We shall be caught up to be with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You will see the moon so close when you pass through the sight of the moon. Hallelujah. All your sadness of you having not passed your physics and your science will disappear that day. Hallelujah. You will see the moon so close, the stars. Can touch one of them on the way because you are an incorruptible body. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Thus you shall be with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the rising prayer. Let's talk where we're going to come here next week.
If you are here this day and you
you have this day just desire to be the bride of Christ, to be a child of God, to be ready for heaven, and you want to make sure that you belong to Jesus, and you want to give your life to Him, would you lift your right hand so I can see you and I can pray with you? Jesus today. I just want you to stand up wherever you are. Those of you who have lifted your hands, just stand up wherever you are in the presence of the Lord and say, Jesus. Say, Jesus. Say, Jesus. Say, Jesus. I give you my life. I give you my life completely. I want to be born again. I open my heart to you. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you are the resurrection and the life. I believe you have risen from the dead. I proclaim you as my Lord. I give you my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I give you my complete life. Sin, I renounce you. Satan, I renounce you. I renounce the world. Jesus, anoint me with your Holy Spirit. Let your Holy Spirit witness to my spirit, saying that I'm a child of God. I receive it by faith, and I thank you that you have set me free. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, lift your hand and thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Be visited from heaven. May the hand of God be upon them. And may the yokes of bondage be broken in your name. And may they go free to worship you and to walk with you. May their lives be never the same again. May they be known as the children of God, the very treasure of my God. And may they know they are priceless, they are costly to the eyes of the Lord. And yes, Lord, your word declares, he who touches you touches the apple of my eye. May they know they are the apple of your eye, and that you will keep them safe and strong for your name's sake. In your hands I come at your people right now, and I set them free. By your name and by your blood, may they go forth free to be disciples and to be vessels of honor for thy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That's the best decision that you ever taken in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.